The silence is deafening. A major fashion house promotes pedophilia with kids standing on beds, holding teddy bears and sexually suggestive BDSM, virtual child porn documents out, and the Balenciaga scandal just keeps getting worse. Do a search for celebrities speak out against, and you'll find outrage over anti-Semitism, the overturn of Roe v. Wade, even mistreatment by Ellen DeGeneres. But innocent children being preyed upon? Oh no, they don't have time for that. Kim Kardashian says she was shaken by the disturbing images, but yet she's been hesitant to completely cut ties with Balenciaga. Instead of raising awareness of child predators, the New York Times wildly blames Q, something that has no connection to a major fashion house. Yeah, let's focus on those who have a problem with the bondage-themed child ads rather than those sick ads. As Gateway Pundit points out, the article, which took three journalists to write, essentially protects Balenciaga in almost every line and blames QAnon and right-leaning media outlets for the new public belief the luxury brand condones child exploitation. Meanwhile, the Washington Post is praising a pedophile play as brilliant. Quote, Bruce Norris's off-Broadway work is tough stuff, questioning how society treats those convicted of heinous acts. If this play was about Nazis or the Ku Klux Klan, would reviewer Peter Marks sympathetically question how society treats them? Let's talk about how pedophiles are being treated right now by California Governor Gavin Newsom and George Soros-funded AGs, shall we? Thousands of sex offenders and pedophiles have received minimal sentences for vile crimes, with some avoiding any time behind bars. A shocking number have received less than a year prison time for horrific crimes, including raping children younger than 14, according to a Daily Mail analysis. And in Canada, officials granted bail to 22 out of 23 perps arrested in a child porn ring, according to Postmillennial. The predatory agenda against children is satanic. Disney treats it like a joke. A former Disney kid condemning it is making the rounds again.
I've noticed a pattern in what is being represented. People think that this stuff is just a game. There is a reason why you see people dressed up as Satan, not just, you know, like Satan slipping himself in a little bit. No, full on visuals of Satan, people dressed as Satan, you know, dressed as a demon, got upside down crosses all on their clothes or pentagrams on their clothes. And people are just like, oh, that's funny. It's, you know, we're making fun. No, there's a reason why the entertainment industry is doing that, y'all.
Elon Musk says removing child exploitation from Twitter is priority number one. And yet the White House is concerned about him owning Twitter, keeping a close eye on Musk.
Elon Musk says there's more and more subscribers coming online. Are you concerned about that? And what tools do you have? Who is it at the White House that is really keeping track of this?
So look, this is something that we're certainly keeping an eye on. And
I wonder if that has anything to do with the floodgates opening on how Twitter suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story. According to the latest Musk release, it appears Twitter was just making up rules as they go to interfere in an election and ensure the big guy won. Documents show the private company was taking orders from the Biden team and government officials. Musk explains, Twitter acting by itself to suppress free speech is not a First Amendment violation, but acting under orders from the government to suppress free speech with no judicial review is. While the elites cry anti-Semitism, even as Ye is suspended from Twitter, they're also silent on the genocide and violence happening right now against the Chinese at the hands of its own tyrannical government. Countless citizens being hauled off to present-day concentration camps. WAPO's Taylor Lorenz even goes so far as to praise China for its lockdowns, just days after the CCP essentially burned civilians to death in a locked-down apartment. And even our president says silence is complicity in regard to anti-Semitism while refusing to condemn the CCP hauling its citizens off to present-day concentration camps. The White House two-tiered treatment of Twitter versus Apple, a company that is aiding the CCP by turning off Chinese protester communication capabilities, doesn't get by Fox News' Martha McCallum.
What does the White House, what do you say to Apple about helping the Chinese government to keep their people under control?
Look, in general, and we've been clear about this all around the world, we want the individual citizens, no matter what government they live under, to be able to communicate freely and openly, transparently and reliably. You know, we're not, we can't. And we aren't in the business of telling private companies how to execute their initiatives.
Yeah, but Twitter's a private company, too. So why is Twitter getting one treatment and Apple's getting another is my question.
Well, these are completely two different circumstances. You're talking about the potential. Well, you're talking about the potential for perhaps foreign investment and involvement in the management of Twitter. That's a different issue than what we're talking about here, which is a business decision by Apple with respect to how one of their applications is being utilized.
Certainly they're getting influenced by a foreign government, and that government is China. I go back to the same thing, because we were just told that the White House will keep an eye on Twitter because they're concerned about the new Twitter 2.0 that Elon Musk is putting in, where he wants more free speech on Twitter. So they're going to keep an eye on Twitter, and yet you're taking a hands-off approach. You say there's been no communication with Tim Cook at Apple about this process in China with the Chinese government?
Martha, I'm not aware that there's been any conversations specifically with Apple on this particular issue.
Canada's prime minister says he supports the Chinese protesters.
Everyone in China should be allowed to express themselves, should be allowed to share their perspectives and indeed protest. We're going to continue to ensure that China knows we'll stand up for human rights.
But isn't that a little strange, considering how he treated protesters in his own country? He called them terrorists, invoked an unprecedented emergency act on the trucker convoy, and froze fundraising and bank accounts. Journalists who truly stand for free speech are speaking up for Julian Assange. Publishing is not a crime, argued the editors and publishers of The Guardian, The New York Times, and others in an open letter to the U.S. government. Assange is to be extradited to the U.S. and face prosecution for publishing excerpts from U.S. diplomatic cables obtained by WikiLeaks. The letter says, "This indictment sets a dangerous precedent and threatens to undermine America's First Amendment and freedom of the press." The New York Times gets caught lying again this week. It had accused President Trump of targeting opposition for IRS audits. A watchdog report now shows that Trump did not, according to the Washington Times. Mr. Comey and Mr. McCabe were randomly selected for tax audits, along with thousands of others, as part of an IRS system known as the National Research Program. And to wrap up, the corporate-controlled media gaslights us on all of these topics. Merriam-Webster got it right, saying it was the word of the year. Don Lemon continues to gaslight, saying CNN was never liberal. He made the claim in an interview with Stephen Colbert, and even he was shocked to hear it. Speaking of CNN, the right scoop says layoffs at CNN are underway, and the new CEO says it will be a difficult time for everyone. Bringing you what's ignored, sensationalized, misleading, or just plain false, that's your media malfeasance for the week. Like, subscribe, and share this to beat the suppression, and join my community at ChristyLeeTV.locals.com. For KLIM.news, I'm Christy Lee.